Thank you, Paula. A lot of times the message goes right along with the music, and that's the case today. If you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 7. We're going to finish up chapter 7 today. And this is a good story in the Bible about Jesus and his encounter with this guy that really had a problem. So let's just read the story. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. All right. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should not tell anyone, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." You know, there are some problems associated with deafness. One of the great problems with people who are deaf is they feel extremely lonely and they feel extremely isolated. In America, there are approximately 28 million people who are hearing impaired. A research company in Washington, D.C. did a study because not only are there a lot of people who are deaf, deaf people have certain learning challenges. They tested a group of 926 deaf students ranging from 17 to 18 years old, and they tested them in the area of reading comprehension. The results of their tests were equivalent to those of the same test given to hearing children in the fourth grade. The median literacy level of a deaf 17 to 18 year old was the same as hearing of a hearing 8 and 9 year old in the public schools. And they were not testing IQ, they were testing reading comprehension, the ability to use language. And so there are learning challenges for deaf people, but there are also social challenges for people who are deaf. They have studied and they have come up with this statistic that 9 out of 10 deaf children are born to parents who can both hear. But in the United States, only 23% of parents who have deaf children learn to communicate through sign language. So these parents are challenged even to communicate with their own children. But probably the worst problem with deaf people is this. They are not just educationally challenged, not just socially challenged. They are spiritually challenged. Listen to this. This is amazing. When we consider the deaf community, we got to remember they're scattered all over the world. Deaf people are not concentrated in one specific geographic area. They are scattered and they live in every different place. And so ministry to this scattered population is very difficult. Trying to reach deaf people is not like trying to reach Chinese people. Because you can go to where Chinese people live and you can reach Chinese people by going to China. And so there are spiritual challenges. Language and cultural barriers have left the deaf a virtually unreached people group right here in America. Christian deaf ministries estimate that only 1% of American deaf children will attend church as adults, and less than 7% of those who are deaf will ever hear the gospel presented in a way they can understand. Listen, the deaf community is the largest unreached people group in the world. And most churches, when it comes to the deaf, according to an article by Christianity Today, regard them as a benevolent ministry, similar to helping those who are disabled or those who are extremely elderly. But experts argue that we need to take a different approach. We need to begin to see deaf people as a cross-cultural mission. In other words, we need to start to think about deaf people as people who need the gospel. Let's see how Jesus approached this deaf guy. Okay, first of all, I was reading this, and it just occurred to me, it just kind of seemed strange to me, and this is a practical thing to apply, is before Jesus, now this has nothing to do with being deaf. This just has to do with life. God took Jesus north in order to get him south. In other words, Jesus had to go to Tyre and Sidon, and then over to Decapolis, and then finally down to the Sea of Galilee. Now, Paul is singing this song about how sometimes we go through that. What was the title of that song? When God Has Another Plan. And so sometimes we say, well, God, I want to go south, and God takes us north. You know, in this culture, we have a saying. We says, well, how are things going? Well, how are things going in your marriage? Well, they're going south. Well, how are things going in your with your baseball team? Well, it's going south. How are things going with Auburn University football? Well, it's going south, okay? But sometimes God has to take you south in order to get you north, or he has to take you east in order to get you west, or he has to take you somewhere. Sometimes it feels like he has to take us through hell to get us to heaven, doesn't it? I had a neighbor that we carpooled with. Her name was Jean Ricks. And I liked Miss Jean. I loved Miss Jean. She was the lady that drove us to school every morning. And you remember that song that was entitled, I Was Country, when country wasn't cool? Well, Miss Jean had a Suburban back when Suburbans were not cool, you know. You remember the days back when Suburbans were like used to take a crew of workers to a work site? Like you could put like 27 workers in a Suburban. They look like a big shoebox. Well, Miss Jean, every morning, picked us up. She had the first Suburban that was ever made, and she would take us to school. And I remember that had nothing to do with the sermon, okay? But Miss Jean does, because she had this saying. She would say, well, I went around my elbow to get to my thumb. How many of y'all have ever heard that? Okay? And I was like, what are you talking about, Miss Jean? I went around my elbow to get... And I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it. And then one day, I said, well, what does that mean? I went around my elbow, to get to my thumb. And sometimes, it feels like God has to take us around our elbow to get to our thumb. God had to take Jacob to Haran to get him to where he wanted to be. God had to take Joseph to Egypt to get him to grow up. God had to take Moses to Midian to get him ready to be a leader. God had to take the Israelites through the desert in order to get them to be the people of God. And God had to take Jonah to Tarshish and into the belly of a whale to get him to Nineveh. And sometimes God has to take us north to get us to go south. The second thing is this. This deaf man is brought to Jesus. Somebody cared enough about this deaf guy to bring him to Jesus. Now, I want you to know something about this story. It's kind of interesting. To begin with, in this story, this man has an inability to speak. By the end of the story, he has an inability to keep silent. He starts off, he can't speak, and at the end of the story, he can't shut up. He can't be quiet. This man could not speak clearly. He could speak. He had some speaking ability, but his inability to hear had affected his inability to speak. Now, I want you to think about that. His inability to hear had affected his inability to speak. I think there could be a spiritual implication to that truth. It could be that our inability to hear affects our inability to speak. When God speaks, we should listen. There was a man by the name of Henry Blackaby. He did a study a few years ago called Experiencing God, and the big part of that study was talking about how God speaks to us. He will speak to us. Sometimes He speaks to us through His Word. That is the primary way that God's going to speak to us, is through the Word of God. Sometimes He's going to speak to us through the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. He will nudge you, and He will speak to you. But you've got to listen. Sometimes God will speak to us through the nudging of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Sometimes God will speak to us through wise counsel. You have somebody who's wise, and you can go to that person, and you can talk to them and ask them for advice. Sometimes God will speak to us through the circumstances of our lives. He can speak to us through circumstances. Now listen, when God speaks, He has an intention to His speaking. He doesn't just speak to us just to have casual conversation. God has something to say to us. Sometimes when God speaks, it requires that we take some action. In the Old Testament, a couple of things are true. When God spoke, there was usually the expectation that the person to whom God spoke would take some action. And when God spoke, the person to whom God spoke always knew that it was God who was speaking to them, and they always knew what God said. There was nothing unclear about God speaking. And so, this deaf man comes to Jesus, or is brought to Jesus, with an inability to speak. By the end of the story, all he can do is talk about Jesus. And the third thing is this. Notice in the story that when they brought this man to Jesus, the sensitivity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't have that kind of sensitivity to lost people, to hurting people, to people who have difficulties like this man had. And I want to kind of point out what Jesus did in order to demonstrate His sensitivity. How do we know Jesus was being sensitive to this guy? Well, first of all, think about this guy. They had to go and bring him. This guy was not used to crowds. He didn't like crowds. Listen, I read story after story after story of deaf people who would come and sit in church services, who would be brought to church as children by their parents, and they would sit in church for years and years and years and years. And one particular story I read, this boy said, you know what, I had no idea what was going on. The only thing that I understood was they passed a plate around the church. People put money in it. They carried it down to the preacher, and he smiled real big. And so this guy had no idea what church was about. No one, there was no Sunday school teacher who could talk to him in sign language. There was no one who could communicate clearly the gospel. And so he developed this misperception of what church was about. And so when that person is brought to Jesus, when this man is brought to Jesus, first thing he does, he says he takes him aside. He is showing sensitivity. He pulls this guy aside, and the second thing Jesus does is this. He speaks to the man in a language that he can understand. You say, well, what are you talking about? Listen, when I read verse 33, I thought, that they could have left that verse out. That makes absolutely no sense at all. Listen to what Jesus did. He took him aside from the multitude. He sticks his fingers in his ears. And he spits. And he touches the guy's tongue. Now, I don't know what Jesus really did. I know one thing. He just went down there, and he just went to that guy. And Courtney, you're my friend. I'm going to stick my finger right in your ear. He stick his finger in his ears. It's kind of weird, isn't it? And then he spits. Now, I don't know if he spit on his hand and touched his tongue. I'm not going to do that to you, okay? But this is weird. Let me tell y'all what Jesus is doing. He's using sign language. He's using sign language. This guy has no idea what Jesus is about. He touches his ears. Jesus is saying, I know what your problem is. I understand. I know you can't hear. I know you can't talk. And then Jesus looks to heaven, and Jesus says, there's a God who cares about your ears. He cares about your tongue. And then Jesus sighs. Oh, I think that was a sigh of compassion and care. And we see Jesus speak to this man in his own language. Life had been very difficult for this man, and Jesus shows tender consideration and compassion for him. I thought about this morning. We have different languages that we speak. Okay, when a doctor goes into a patient's room, I've seen this happen a lot of times. I have seen doctors come in, take their stethoscope, not say a word to the patient, unbutton their shirt, or reach down their gown and put their stethoscope right there on their heart. And I have seen them, excuse me just a second, and I have seen them reach down, and they push here, they push here, I'm trying to suck in, they push here, lean forward, cough again. And we understand, doctor's busy, he's doing this time, sometimes they're then there, they need to get done, and that's what they do, and that's their language, right? And you, not a person here would have a problem with that if you were sick and you were hurting. But let me ask you this, what if your pastor came in and did that? There'd be a problem, wouldn't there? I'm not going to do that, okay? But there is a certain language that Jesus spoke to this man. He shows compassion. Another thing I want to point out in this story is this. Verse 37. It says, they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. I want you to think about that phrase. He does all things well. Those are good words. Those are good words to hear. Wow. You do all things well. You did all things well. Wow, you did it. Don't you love to hear it when somebody says, wow, that was good. You did a good job. Let me tell you what happened at the first day of creation. God created light, separated light from the darkness. And you know what he said? It's good. This is good. On the second day, he divided the waters and he made an atmosphere. And God looked at that and he said, this is good. This is good. On the third day, he made dry land and he made plants. God looked at it and said, this is good. Fourth day, sun, moon, and stars. God said, this is good. Fifth day, sea creatures and birds. And God said, this is good. On the sixth day, God made the land animals, and he made Adam, and he made Eve, and he looked at them, and he said, this is very good. God had declared all of his creation as good. It was a perfect world, a perfect couple, a perfect home, until sin entered the world. Things began to get bad. Adam and Eve had to leave. Pain entered into the equation. Soon there was the first murder. Then things became worse and worse and worse. Then there was the Tower of Babel, where all these people tried to build a tower to heaven. So God confused the language. He dispersed the men, and God began to look around and said, he saw that the wickedness of man was so great in the earth that even every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God called Noah and he built an ark, and eight people got in the ark because there was only eight people. I guess God felt like needed to be saved, and all the animals got in the ark. They stayed on that ark about a year, and then the water receded and they got off the ark, and it wasn't long before things got worse again. After the flood, things began to deteriorate. Wickedness started back up on the earth. In the history of the world, we would see that Israel would rebel and fall and turn away from God, that Judah would fall and turn away from God. The temple would be built and destroyed. And then at the very end of the Old Testament, God would just be quiet for about 400 years Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's 400 years of silence where God wouldn't say anything because things had gotten so bad. And then we see that Jesus is what we call recreation. Jesus would come and Jesus would fix what was broken in the Garden of Eden. Jesus would begin to heal. And Jesus healing this blind, this deaf guy, they looked at it and said, kind of a throwback to creation. This is good. This is good. Jesus still does all things well. He did a work of restoration in this man's life, and he can do a restoration in your life. That's why he came. Maybe this morning, that's what God needs to do for you. Maybe he needs to do a work of restoration. If you're a Christian, you've fallen into this pattern of sin, God can restore you. But more importantly, if you're not a follower of Christ, God can take your spiritual deafness and give you perfect hearing. He can take your inability to speak and give you perfect articulation. Interesting in this story, it says at the end of verse 35 that the man spoke plainly. That word plainly in the Greek is the word orthos, O-R-T-H-O-S. We get two words in our, at least two words. One is orthopedic, the other is orthodontic. Orthopedist will straighten your legs. Orthodontist will straighten your teeth. Jesus straightened this man out, and he can straighten us out. He comes to help straighten our lives out. Jesus can take blindness and give you perfect vision. He can take your sickness and turn it into health. He can take sadness and turn it into joy. He can take brokenness and turn it into wholeness. He can take death and turn it into life, and he can do that for you. Maybe this morning, God has taken you north in order to send you south, and you just needed to be reminded of that. You think that your life has taken a detour and that you've gotten sidetracked. Maybe God's putting you in the desert, sending you in a roundabout direction to get you where he really needs for you to be. It could be for you that he's doing that, but it could be for somebody who's watching you that he's doing that. It could be for someone in your life. You're on this journey with them, or they're watching you. Could be that you just need it. Maybe God's preparing you for something that's going to happen in the future. Maybe we need to follow the example that Jesus set for us and show greater sensitivity to people. Jesus was intentionally careful with this man who was fragile. Jesus could not treat this man like he treated other people. He had to be more careful. He had to reach out and physically touch this man. In the story we read just before this, Jesus never even went to where the demon-possessed girl was. He healed her from a distance. But this guy, he had to touch him. This healing had to take place in the physical presence of Christ. You can't treat every person the same. Some people have to be treated differently in your life. That's a farce. We say, well, we treat all our children the same. You better not. You better learn to treat them differently because they're different. They have different personalities. They respond differently. You can't treat a boy the way you treat a girl. They're different. Maybe this morning you can't get beyond the truth that God wants to reach deaf people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know that estimate is that there are between 250 and 300 million deaf people in the world, and only 2% of them are Christians. That means that 98% of deaf people will miss out on eternal life with Jesus in heaven. Deaf people are the largest unreached people group in the world. What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Let's pray. Father, we just bow before you. I pray, God, that some truth has come off the pages of the Scripture, God, and pierced our hearts. I pray, Lord, that God, that you would help maybe somebody, Lord, who's gifted in a way that they can help in ministry with death. I pray that, God, whatever it is, you'd call us to do something. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be people of greater sensitivity like Jesus was. He set such a wonderful example for us, Lord. He speaks to the man so that he can understand and hear. And God, so many truths in this Scripture. God, but the overarching truth is that Jesus Christ has the solution to the problems we face. And Father, I know there are people who have skirted the issue of salvation. God, they don't want to think about it. They just don't want to think about it. It's something they'll deal with later. And God, it's something that they just don't want to think about right now. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to realize that life is what it is, Lord. It is fragile. It is short. I pray, God, that if there's someone here who needs Christ and you, oh God, you're calling them, I pray you give them the courage to respond to the invitation to receive Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.